Blog Talk Radio.
Radio Free Palmer 89.5 KVRF presents Dog Talk Radio, hosted by Robert and Michelle Forto. On Dog Talk Radio, we do just that. Talk dogs. Everything from introducing a new puppy into your home to the health and welfare of your canine senior citizen and all points in between. Visit our website at dogworksradio.com. Here are your hosts, Robert and Michelle Forto.
Hello and welcome, everybody. This is Robert Forto, and sitting beside me is the host of Dog Talk Radio. Her name is Michelle Forto. She is the trainer at Alaska Dog Works, and we are on KVRF 89.5 FM, RadioFreePalmer.org, and you can follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Dog Works Radio. Michelle, how is it going?
It's going well. It's quite warm this afternoon, isn't it?
It is very warm, especially here in the studio. I do not know what's going on with the air conditioning, but it is a little bit toasty in here.
You know, I don't think that this office has air conditioning is what the issue is.
You know, I think that we're really paying it for a cause. Then we're going through this. It's interesting that we complain about the weather. We used to live in Denver, Colorado, where it routinely get in the triple digits, and we're a little bit upset when it's 70 or above.
Well, I'm not upset, but you definitely get upset. You don't like it if it's more than 72 degrees.
That is right. So here on Dog Talk Radio, this is our eighth episode of Dog Talk Radio and dogtalkradio.com, dogworksradio.com. What is on tap for this afternoon?
Well, this afternoon we're going to discuss an article that you wrote quite some time ago called A Simple Sit. And the reason why I'm bringing that back to the forefront once again, we're talking about 5 years later, is because it still rings true. Time and time again, we have clients that call us and ask us questions about how they can get their dog to listen. And not only that, but I get questions to this day, 3 years later after moving out of Denver, about what is the difference between a therapy dog and a service dog. Just this week, I've received 3 emails and 2 phone calls regarding that exact issue in Denver and in Anchorage. So there's a lot of discrepancy between the definition and the role of a therapy dog and a service dog.
So before we get into that, you mentioned A Simple Sit. One of the first things we always ask our clients is your dog trained? And they say, of course he's trained. And we say, what can he or she do? Then they say, well, he does know how to sit. And that's why I titled the article A Simple Sit, because training is much more than teaching your dog to sit. Remember, a sit is a natural behavior. A dog will naturally go into the sitting position when he is inclined to do so. So, Michelle, let's roll with this, A Simple Sit.
Right. So the best friend they so desperately endear has become the canine equivalent of the schoolyard bully. He pushes the owner around, jumps on the furniture, tears up your favorite pair of shoes, or destroys your neighbor's fancy new suit while your dog greets your guest at the door when he arrives at your dinner party. Whether you are just starting out with a new puppy, an older shelter dog, or realizing that there are some behavioral issues developing with your current dog, dog training can be a valuable asset for both owners and their dogs. There is a tremendous value in obedience training. And I just want to stop right there, because there was a young boy in Anchorage today that was bitten in the face by his friend's dog. And this really comes back to learning how to control your pet, even when it's a dog that is familiar and to the person. It doesn't always mean that the dog is going to find that person a safe person to be around. So that being said, there's a tremendous value in the obedience training. Here are just a few reasons why every dog should know some basic commands. Training helps to establish leadership with your dog. Training gives your dog a job to do for the things in life he wants, which you provide. That means that your dog should work for all rewards. Your dog doesn't pay the bills. So if your dog expects you to feed him, love him, pet him, take him to the vet, take him for walks, and do fun things with him, he needs to work for those rewards. It begins to prepare your dog's mind for immediate responses to commands in social situations where he is required to sit, stay, and downstay. The consistency and repetition of simple sits and downs will begin to foster discipline in behavior. Training provides you with the acceptable alternative behaviors to which you can redirect your dog. If jumping is inappropriate, redirect to sit. The sit command is the easiest command to teach your dog, and yet most people do not teach a well-disciplined sit. Most people teach their dogs to sit as young puppies, so dogs are already familiar with and comfortable doing it, remembering all positive associations with the sit command, food, treats, praise, etc. When I think of problem-solving behaviors in dogs, you would be surprised how many behaviors you can stop with a well-disciplined sit. Jumping, running out of the door, dog aggression, and yes, even barking, just to name a few. Think about it for a moment. If your dog is sitting, he cannot jump. The two behaviors are mutually exclusive. The same goes for aggressing on another dog. Which brings me to the main reason why I chose this article today. We have this wonderful, cute, brown dog named Stanley, currently staying in our CampWorks program. And Stanley had an extremely poor start in life, bad socialization, lack of companionship, lack of training, and he just goes at it all the time, 100% of the time looking for attention but not sure how to go about it in the correct ways. And yesterday while I was out in the yard filling the water buckets and cleaning up soiled crates and so on and so forth and watering the greenhouse plants, Stanley was going a little bit nuts with me out there and jumping on the door and scratching up the glass. And all I had to say to him was, Stanley, sit. He immediately sat and tried to be still about it and tried to be calm, but he immediately knew what the word sit was. So that's where we start with our training with dogs that are hyperactive, overly assertive, and even aggressive. And you move it through that by reminding the dog of the one thing that he always did correctly, and that is sit. What do you think, Robert?
I agree.
Well, I know that you do since you wrote the article. Most people drop the ball in two places, weaning dogs off of food treats too soon and distraction training. It really does not matter whether you use compulsion, no treats, or reward-based methods to train, as long as the dog is obeying without treats when you have the dog on a voice or a hand signal. But here is where the real work begins, distraction training. A well-disciplined sit means your dog has been proofed to sit around all the distractions to which he will be exposed. Here are some helpful tips. Always train your dog on a leash so you will be able to reinforce commands. As your dog becomes more reliable, you can move to off-leash. Remember the 3D formula for distraction training: duration, distractions, and distance. You'd build time first, 3 minutes sit stay, then add distractions before you add distance from the dog. Please remember, because dogs do not generalize well, you must always vary the level of distraction, the locations in which you train, and your distance from the dog. Command elements such as tone of voice and different people handling the dog work well too. While this all sounds like a lot of work, it probably is, but it is all relative to your dog's problems and your willingness to live with these problems or fix them and dramatically improve the relationship with your dog. A simple sit can solve many problems, but successful behavior modification will ultimately always begin and end with 100% compliance from you, your dog's owner. Remember that you are the leader in this relationship and that what you say must go. Pretty simple.
It is pretty simple, and you know, there's a lot of trainers out there, and this is where we differ from them. A lot of trainers are all about making it always fun for your dogs, and I totally have no problem with making training fun, but there has to come a time, as well with working with our kids, that a command must be obeyed right then and there.
Absolutely. It goes back to the three life-saving commands that you instill in all of our clientele, and one of them is sit. If your dog can't come when called, sit when he's told, and walk well on a loose leash, chances are he's going to run out your front door and get ran over by a car.
Yeah, who cares if your dog can do a perfect play dead or a perfect shake hands or roll over or whatever. You have to train your dog for the lifestyle that you guys lead. And if that is, you know, out on a farm where your dog is always free and can run and play and jump and you know, be a dog all the time, that's fine. But most people, if not 90%+ of us, do not live that way. We live in the city. We live in the suburbs. We live where places are dangerous for dogs, and that's why training is so important.
You know, I absolutely agree. And one thing that goes right into it with my tips and tricks for this week is timing is everything. In dog training, timing is of the essence. Whether you're praising, redirecting a drive, or correcting the timing involved is of the utmost importance. For instance, if you tell your dog to sit and he doesn't, but he stops the behavior that you're wanting to distract him from, you have to go back to my most number one tips and trick, which is WAG, win all games, and make your dog do that sit, whether it be reinforcing with the hand signal, pulling out a favorite toy or a treat, but you have to get that dog to do the sit. That's the one command that all dogs usually can fall back on as the number one thing that they learned as first little tiny puppies, and it's able to carry them through their whole life. So if all else fails and you are at your wit's end, just remember a simple sit is usually all it takes to bring Max back into focus.
That's exactly right.
So we are listening to Dog Talk Radio on 89.5 FM, Radio Free Palmer, as well as Dog Works Radio on Blog Talk Radio. And Robert, we've got an upcoming event in Anchorage for the Anchorage Pet Expo. I believe it's on June 20th.
Actually, I believe it is on the 15th, the 14th and 15th.
Okay, that would be correct. So I hope that everybody's able to get out there and check that out. It's kind of a unique event for Anchorage, as they don't have very many dog-related events. And this one will encompass lots of vendors with pet products and new things for your pet out there for you to try and get samples for. You can bring your dogs to this, but we do always suggest that you keep your dog on a 6-foot leash, non-retractable.
That's right. You know, you and I have done pet expos many times in the past, especially in the Denver area. They're always a fun event, great networking if you are a pet-related business. We encourage all of you guys to go out and learn from each other. I think there's nothing better for a pet-related business to get out there and meet other folks in your industry. Don't put yourself on top of the mountain. Make sure that you get out and meet and greet everybody, because that's how businesses grow and thrive. It's not a remaining stagnant and in a closed-off room somewhere hoping that the phone will ring or the clients will come.
Exactly right. And you shouldn't just think that your business is the only business. It's about sharing and producing a better product and a better service out there for everyone in the pet-related businesses. So I want to round out our show today with discussing, and I don't want to keep beating this in and, you know, hitting the same drum over and over again, but we really need to define the difference between therapy dogs and service dogs. There is a new definition on the Americans with Disability Act that kind of is redefining what a service dog is and is allowed to be, and what services they are allowed to provide. And they've narrowed it a bit for psychiatric service dogs, meaning you can no longer have a service dog that provides you with comfort. So comfort dogs are no longer allowed under the ADA guidelines as service dogs. So please reconnect with your trainer and or your medical provider so that you can find out how you can expand your dog's ability to be a service dog for you in public places if you have only had your dog trained as a comfort dog. So this week, Robert, like I was saying earlier, I've gotten about 5 or 6 phone calls and emails, questions regarding what's allowable for therapy dogs and service dogs, and people really are getting their definitions incorrect, whether it be from the person that has the service dog or therapy dog stating what it is incorrectly, or that person just not knowing what it is. A therapy dog, first and foremost for our listeners, is a dog that you own personally, that's gone through at least 2 years of specialized training, that you are going to take to a prescribed location once or twice a week for a maximum of 2 hours to visit other people and provide therapy to those people. That dog then leaves with you and goes home and is allowed to go nowhere else in public other than that prescribed location. Therapy dogs are wonderful animals that help people through tragic events such as the recent tornadoes in Oklahoma. Think of the dogs that were portrayed on the news recently for the Sandy Hook Elementary victims and situations like that. Most of these therapy dogs visit in hospitals, hospices, schools, and libraries, and that's the types of services that they provide. A service dog is a dog that lives with a person 24/7, is always with that person wherever that person goes, and does 4 to 6 prescribed skills for that person. In other words, they are that person's medical device. That person should not be without that dog and cannot be without that dog. That dog has been undergone 2 years or more of specialized training so that it has met certain requirements to be in public places, all public places. There are certain things that I recommend to my clients for places that you probably shouldn't be taking a service dog, like nightclubs and bars and amusement parks, but for the most part, most of our clients understand that. But a service dog under the ADA is any dog that has been trained to assist someone with a disability. Think of guide dogs for the blind. There are deaf dogs. There are mobility dogs. There are psychiatric service dogs. There are autistic service dogs. And there are dogs for diabetes, seizure alert, peanut allergies, and things like that. So if you're interested in having your dog be a certified service dog for yourself, please contact a professional trainer that is certified. It is the best way to go. They know the local laws. They know what is allowed and not allowed as far as how to train your dog in public places. You are not required by the ADA to have your dog professionally trained and or professionally certified, but I always suggest it. It makes it easier on everyone involved. So what's been happening recently is that people are starting to misuse the term therapy dog. It is a popular term right now. It is a popular thing to do with your dog. Please educate yourself and learn more about the differences between a therapy dog and a service dog. If you are a business owner, I really encourage you to become familiar with the Americans with Disability Act's web pages in your area and really find out what it is all about. Your staff members should be trained to recognize a service dog and what they are allowed to ask that person that is bringing in that service dog. There are certain questions that you're allowed to ask and there are certain things you're not allowed to ask. As soon as you go too far, you have violated that person's civil rights and you are asking for a whole heap of trouble coming your way. So if you are an owner of a business, especially a restaurant, please take time to train your staff properly so that you can continue to uphold your business's values and service for your patrons.
I totally agree. And what happens if something does occur? What are the steps that should be taken?
Well, I've always instructed my clientele to simply smile and adhere to the request that's being made of them. Typically, it is just being asked to leave. The dog is not allowed. And then I instruct the person to calmly and quietly ask to speak with the manager, supervisor. If that person is unavailable or unwilling to work with you, then I get the information of the owner, and then I speak with the owner. I also have lodged complaints on behalf of my clients with the ADA in Colorado, just because sometimes that's what it takes. You've got to go above and beyond and take that next step. A few months ago, we had a client that was literally chased down in the library. My autistic client he's in his 20s with his dog. His mother was in a different part of the library, and one of the clerks in the library, a gentleman, literally was running after them, screaming and yelling and causing a scene to the point where this young man was so upset and so nervous, all he wanted to do was get to his mother. It was an absolutely inappropriate situation. That one we did turn into the ADA. We've had a few clients that have been asked to leave restaurants in Denver, especially Denver, and I'm not sure why. It could be because we're based in Denver, and that's where the majority of our clientele are, but we have had clients in New York State complain about the same thing, but New York's a whole different ballgame, isn't it, Robert?
It is. They have their own rules there. We've talked about them a lot on our sister channel, DogWorks Radio, dogworksradio.com, search service dogs, and some of those will pop up. You know, my question to you, or at least my comment, is how do we educate the public? That seems to be the hardest part. We spend a lot of time educating our clients, but the public is, by and large, the ones that are making the rules or changing the rules as they see fit.
You know, and I was thinking about that earlier today. I'm wondering if I just need to do a tour and really discuss it, because it is a problem, and I'm glad that businesses feel comfortable calling Alaska Dog Works and Denver Dog Works and asking me questions, knowing full and well that I will be open and disclose all knowledge that I have in this area. But the problem comes back to other companies either misinforming, not informing, or not educating their own clients, and then it causes a tumbleweed type effect. There's also a huge amount of people out there that are training their own dogs, and this is a problem. You and I have both discussed this again on our sister station, where we really truly believe that all service dogs should meet some sort of certified requirements under the ADA. You know, therapy dogs are required to have certification. I don't know why service dogs aren't.
You know, I've been a proponent for a long time of the service dog doggy driver's license type thing, and we've talked about that many a times, including with the Rocky Mountain Americans with Disability Act liaison. We've talked about it with them on a couple of occasions, and everybody, by and large, is in total agreement. You know, why should, you know, your therapy dogs be certified, or your dogs go through puppy preschool before they go to daycare? But a service dog doesn't need any type of certification whatsoever. So I think that that's a great topic for another day. But, Michelle, we're just about out of time. One last segment here. What else is on tap?
You know, what else is on tap? We are, you know, looking forward to the summer. I know a lot of people are getting out there and going fishing and doing things with your dog. Please keep in mind that your dog needs you to carry its own fresh water supply. Giardia is a problem in Alaska. People don't think of it for their dogs, especially a lot of them that live up here in the Matsu Valley. It might not be as much of a problem for the dogs up here, but down in Anchorage, it probably is. If you're bringing your dog up for the weekend, you're going to go RVing and ATVing and kayaking and fishing and any of those types of things, kind of monitor how much water your dog is drinking out of the stream and the stagnant areas, because there is Giardia.
There is, and Giardia can be transferred to humans. It is a pretty bad deal if the human gets it himself. We had the pleasure or displeasure of having a conversation with a gentleman that caught it on Iditarod, and it was a very sticky situation, to say the least.
And we've known other people down in Colorado that have experienced Giardia, but I don't think they experienced it to this person's extreme measure. I mean, when you're in the middle of nowhere and it's minus 30 and you've got Giardia, it's a sad situation.
It is. So look forward to having you on again next week, same time, same channel, as they used to say on the old 1960s Batman show. This is Dog Talk Radio. We're on every Wednesday night, 7 p.m. here on KVRF, and you can hear our podcast anytime, dogworksradio.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, at Dogworks Radio, or listen to us streaming from your computer or your iPhone app. Just search for KVRF, Radio Free Palmer. Until then, we'll see you guys next time. Goodbye.